And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's Expository Thursday.
Expository Thursday.
As we work together to know the letter better into the narrative of the Book of Acts, we travel to understand the things that the Lord requires of us as we learn to apply God's timeless truths in our lives. First, after being falsely accused of numerous crimes and evil deeds, Paul didn't throw a temper tantrum. Instead, Paul simply stated, "I'm not guilty. It's not true. I don't care." Sometimes we might feel the need for a grand public display to deny accusations. Perhaps at certain times, we should just keep it a little simpler. Get it? Next, for strategic reasons, Festus asks Paul if he's willing to go to Jerusalem. This is, and don't get upset because this is a practical application, this is akin to asking Donald Trump if he wants to have a court hearing in New York. Most people are astute enough to realize that's not going to be fair. You don't have to like or dislike Donald Trump to know it ain't going to be fair. And Paul understood that having a court in appearance in Jerusalem would not be fair, and so it was the wrong venue. So Paul, finally, as a Roman citizen, appeals to get relief from an unjust court scenario. Ironically, he acknowledges that if he did anything wrong, he'll pay the price. But because he knows he did nothing wrong, he has nothing to fear, and that God, and God himself alone, is the ultimate judge. Paul's appeal was much more rooted in divine, though, than at first glance. You'd think he made that appeal because it was a great strategic move, but that's not what it was. By making his appeal to Caesar, it turned out that he would end up spreading the gospel in Rome, even further places than ever before, because that was part of God's plan. And it seems like, apparently, God knows what he's doing after all.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations. Oh, my. Spiritual observations. Oh, no. And my life's insanities and noive, so much more. Now remember, it's not professional radio. It's just radio. So earlier in the show when Deborah called in, her phone died. Right? Her phone died, and then she's like, and then she called back, right? So it's like, is that hilarious? Like, what do you do if your phone dies? Nothing.
You just go, well. Okay.
Well, we guessed Deborah wasn't going to be on that segment. But then guess what happened during the fill? It was Deborah. Ah, you can't make stuff up like that, can you?
So we actually did hear Deborah on the show today.
We did. Her famous Bathsheba line. Such a good line. Anyway, so here's the bottom line. The bottom line is if you want to reach out to us, there's three easy ways to do it. Well, there's four, but I'll give you three that'll work. David@hemustincrease.org. That's the email. David@hemustincrease.org. You can text us, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can call us. I know, it's telephone. It's got those buttons or something. Maybe if you got the circle-y one, it's a little older. 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. When you call 972-445-0770. You'll end up talking to Jammin' Jacob. talking to Jim and Jacob is the same feeling you get when you're being appreciated.
Aww,
that's nice.
Thank you, David. Happy Thursday. I got the day right.
That's very good. You've got the day correct. And then just so you can know for the rest, it will be Thursday all the rest of today.
Good to know. Thank you.
Just make
and then tomorrow will be Friday.
And tomorrow will be Friday. That's right. All right, here's the bottom line. The bottom line is maybe you've got a prayer request. And you know what? We want to pray. You're thinking, why do you want to pray? Well, first of all, when you join somebody in prayer and they get answers, it's cool. I mean, let's just be honest. It's like you're praying for somebody. I was praying for a friend. Their spouse was going through some real difficult times, and we prayed throughout the week, and then he got back to me and said after a week, he said, oh, doing tons better. That it's not me. It's that you get to participate in it. And so when you get answers first, cool. It's just an awesome thing. It's just like, oh, yeah. So if you got something you need prayer, let's pray. That's what we do. We'll pray to the Father in the name of the Son with help from the Holy Spirit, and we'll ask the Lord to do it because he is gracious. He's generous. He's a giver. Look, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. What did he do? Give. Get it? All right. So we do that. We do praise reports. We shared some praise reports earlier today. Very, very, very cool. We also will hopefully get in some jokes. We didn't get that in yesterday because yesterday's show was just completely different than normal, which is like every day. Also, we're going to do some history and then some Bible trivia. Now, I got a couple of different types of Bible trivia that we're going to do today. We're not going to do the same style all the way through. Here's your first Bible trivia question. You guys should get this right away. Your reference point is Genesis 29, 21 through 25. I was the daughter of Laban. Together with my father, I deceived Jacob into marrying me. Who am I? Am I Leah, Jael, or Michal? Leah, Jael, or Michal? Genesis 29, 21 through 25. I was the daughter of Laban. Daughter of Laban. Together with my father, he deceived Jacob into marrying me. Ha! Who am I? Genesis 29, 21 through 25. Am I Leah, Jael, or Michal? That is the question if you think you know the answer. The number to call would be 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. Additionally, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. So last half hour, I didn't get to send you to the website, so I'm sending you to the website right now because I didn't do it last half hour, and we need to do that. And the reason is very simple without getting overly complex. Donations are good. Donations, good. Good thing. Good. Okay? Get it? All right? So beyond that, I do want to say this. I'll give you the scripture in a minute. On the website is access to the new book, The Faith That Pleases God. So one that I wrote. It's not very brilliant. It's not very complex. Very simple book oriented simply to increase your faith. And the purpose behind that is without faith, it's impossible to please God. For those who come to God must believe that he is and a rewarder of those who seek him. If you can't pay for the book, we will pay for it, period. If you want an electronic copy, if you want a print copy, or if you want an audio copy, we will pay for it. No problem. I'd rather you have the book. I'd rather spend the money and have the book. Okay? You have the book. Because if it increases your faith, then we're doing our job here. Additionally, on the website's a bunch of other goofy stuff that you can have fun looking at. That's part of the design of the site. Check it all out on hemustincrease.org.
Prayer request?
Hemustincrease.org.
Praise report?
Hemustincrease.org.
Looking to give to this ministry?
Hemustincrease.org.
Confused by what's happening right now?
Hemustincrease.org.
Hemustincrease.org.
Noopa, noopa. Goopa noopa. Manatoto. Meche mecho.
Yeah, I just said that to Noel yesterday.
I agree. Knew exactly what I don't know, animal, I don't know, creature, what that creature said.
See,
I agree.
There's a sneeze, there's a bark, there's a this. It's like, there's a lot in there. You know what I'm saying? All right. Trivia question. I was the daughter of Laban. Together with my father, we deceived Jacob into marrying me. Who am I? Am I Leah, Jael, or Michal? Genesis 29, 21 through 25. If you want to reach out to us, blah, 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 I can talk. 972-445-0770, 214-210-8483, or send an email to david@hemustincrease.org. We do have somebody that is on the line, and we're going to give them a chance to answer the trivia question. Let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to? Hello?
This is Brother Roger again.
Hello, Brother Roger again. How are you?
I'm doing all right.
You're doing all right? Better than a poke in the eye with a sharp stick, right?
Right.
Okay, that's good.
ready for the trivia, I think.
All right, let me set up the question and then you answer it, okay?
Okay.
All right. Who is this person? I was the daughter of Laban, and together with my dad, my father, we deceived Jacob into marrying me. Who am I? Am I Leah, Jael, or Michal? Leah, Jael.
Z-I-L-P-A-H.
Z-I-L-T-A-H. So wait, who am I? What's your name?
No.
Who was the one that got married to Jacob before the woman he wanted to marry?
Okay.
Let's see. So it was So Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jacob married Rachel, and who was the other girl that he married? Remember, he got deceived. And he ended up marrying the sister before her.
Right.
That was Leah. 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 That is it.
Leah. I can't say it right. I thought I had it right, but I didn't.
Right. That's okay.
I'm looking right at it, but I guess I'm not reading. I'm not a good reader.
Well, here's one thing for sure. In the future, when they say, well, which sister got married before to Jacob, I bet you get it right next time. I bet you go, Leah. Leah was the first one.
Right. I will. You know, my average of answering trivia is probably 50-50.
That's hilarious. Now just think though, if you were batting in baseball and you were hitting 50-50 for 50, you'd be making like $60 billion a year. So it's like that's one way to look
at
that, right?
What?
Yeah. So what happened is Rachel. He was supposed to marry Rachel, and then Laban switched him to Leah, and then Jacob ended up marrying Leah, and then a week later he married Rachel. So that was all the switcheroo.
Well, that's the way that works. But when I was a kid, I had what they called phonics dyslexia. They called it phonics dyslexia. So I never read really good until Jesus found me, and then I got, back in the day, it was called Bible on tape.
Ah, you know, gotcha. Now. Yeah, back in the day, right? Bible on tape. Wow, long time
ago. So somebody gave me Bible on tape, and I followed along on the Bible, and I probably read the Bible over 15, 20 times with the Bible on tape.
There you go.
And then finally, I became a sight reader. So my phonics is still a little better, but sight reading is what I do.
Gotcha. I gotcha. So that's right. But you got it now. And so now it's linked in there and it's not going to move. You'll keep it in your brain for until the Lord comes back.
Right.
Excellent job. How are you doing otherwise, bro?
Well, yeah, it's a good question. You know, I had been fighting them little foxes. I'm going to tell you why, because I'm a week before, I don't know, I do Lent because that was my heritage, so I still do Lent, but it's not a necessity, but for my personal self, I do Lent.
Okay.
And a week before Lent, I thought, well, I don't know what I'm going to do, so I decided that I'm going to do no pastries, no ice cream, no anything that was that kind of type, you know, sweets in it. So I said, okay, I'm going to try that before Lent. And so that week before, I did it. And then I said, okay, I'm going to keep it up during Lent, that 40 days, and see what happens. Well, I kept it up for that 40 days, and I'm still on it, where I don't do any pastry. And I'm not even doing a Yahoo this time.
Wow. Wow. So, and how long have you been doing it now?
Well, a week before Lent was, Fat Tuesday was, a week before Fat Tuesday.
Gotcha. And so, but wait, that sounds like a good thing, isn't it?
My first about two months, three months.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
I don't know, I lost track.
How you feeling?
It's not. Well, there's a reward with it. My belt loop is three dots more closer, tighter. So
wow.
I had to make a new hole in my belt.
Wow, congratulations on that. That's good news.
Yeah, I'm a big guy. I'm a really big guy. I didn't lose too much weight, but there is size difference. So
gotcha.
I'll take that.
Gotcha. But that's awesome, though. I mean, that's a great result of what you did, though, isn't it? That's good.
Yeah.
That's a good thing.
Yeah, and it's yesterday I seen some of these cookies, and I said, no, I really want one. What do I do? And I resist it. So I got through that one. So hopefully God will help me and sustain me from going back to the old ways of, you know, because now I'm not saying everybody needs to quit sugar. I needed to quit. And it's not wrong to mess up. Because I've done this before and messed up, but I feel like that I'm growing and growing because of it.
Right.
And then I heard the word the other day that somebody said that God wasn't going to talk to us anymore, and I said, I reject that in the name of Jesus.
Of course. Yeah, that's ridiculous. Hey, let me build on that just for a second. You said something that's really important, and I want to kind of key in on it. And that is, you said, well, if I ate a cookie or did something, I don't want to beat myself. I shouldn't beat myself up. That, let me tell
you,
right there, that point right there, you can do 2-3 straight hours on how Christians beat themselves up when they make a mistake. It's ironic.
Well, I was raised like that.
Yeah, and what's amazing about that is if God chose you and knows everything about you, right? And he's walking you through and teaching you. And then when we make a mistake, we do extra self-beating up. It's like, how is that brilliant? How is that the way how is that to be in sequence or in agreement with God? The Lord knows you didn't.
Yeah.
Oh, I blew that. It's a bad thing, Lord. And then saying, yes, I acknowledge that, bringing it before the Lord and yielding it is one thing. But then walking around the rest of the day, hitting yourself with a piece of wood and going, woe is me, that's a little different. See what I'm saying?
Well, they called it penance back then.
Yeah.
I didn't really understand what that meant. You know, I'm glad I never really figured that part out.
Well, repentance is just repentance without the re.
Yeah.
That's all
God
it is.
Says,
yeah, that's good.
One time, somebody asked me, what religion are you? I said, well, you know what? Let me think about that. Well, I don't really know what. I don't think I have a religion. I think I have a relationship.
There you go. That's right.
I threw out my religion and made a relationship.
I
want to get stronger every day, and kind of like your DNA. I want to get stronger in that relationship on a daily basis.
Amen.
That's right. And that's one of the foxes you were talking about. One of the foxes is when you make a mistake or you say, like if you misspoke or you got your feelings hurt or you didn't get a pat on the back when you should have got a pat on the back, then you get into this pity party. Well, nobody coming to your pity party.
Yeah.
So, I mean, let's not even try to have a pity party. Let's just say, okay, I did it. I'm sorry. I'm going to move on, and God is faithful and just. Forgive me. It makes me feel better, though, when I say I'm sorry.
Well, there should be something before the Lord that you acknowledge. That's part of the confession, is saying, hey, that was wrong. I did that wrong. That's part of it. I mean, so when you're confessing it, but it's not any exact wording. It's not any exact phrasing. It's just being responsive to the Lord as the Lord challenges you.
Basically, I'm saying, I wish I hadn't done that, Lord. I know you already have forgiven me, but I'm just going to say it anyway, so I'll feel better.
Yeah, I got you. Good job, Roger. Good job, Roger, again, sharing with everybody your heart. People like to hear how people are doing, and you know what? You're going through what other people go through, and that really helps people to understand, hey, there's a limit there to self-beating up, so, you know, put a limit on it.
I was really deep into it before.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you're not now. I'm glad you're doing better now.
I got the feeling sorry for myself.
Got it.
I call it feeling sorry for myself. And I got out of that feeling sorry for myself and then quit trying to look for the pats on the back.
Yep.
Because someday it'll come.
Yep. You got it.
Right now, it's not here, and I'm just going to get closer to God as much as I can.
Yep. Thank you.
I love your show, Brother David, and even your reruns, and I know what you went through moving, but you got through it.
Yep.
And that's the main thing.
Amen, brother. Thank you, brother, for a great call. I appreciate you. I love you in the Lord, brother.
All right. God bless you. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye. All right. I do think that it's really important to catch what Roger said on that one thing. There is a lot of self, I don't want to say that there's self-examination, because that part's right. There's nothing wrong. You should examine yourself before the Lord. That's exactly right. In fact, I ask the Lord to examine me, and if I'm missing something, for him to show me. That's a normal part of the Christian life, and it should be. If you're seriously committed to the Lord, you should come before the Lord and say, hey, if there's something in me, I'm not doing the right way, not going the right way, I want to do the right thing. But when the Lord does reveal it, and then you're working on stuff, you can't sit and what Roger, he tried to come up with a term for it. Let me give you the right term for it. Ready? It's called the woe is me's. Woe is me. It's like that Eeyore thing. It's like, woe is me. It's like, yeah, we get it. Okay, you got it. You're going to do better. That's what you have to do, because the Lord wants you to do better so that you can reflect the image of Jesus Christ more and more. But let's not live in the failure. Because when you live in the failure, can I say this for some of you that really need this? You're only looking backwards. How are you? But the Bible says, this one thing I do, forgetting that which is behind and pressing forward to that which is before me, I press towards the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. How are you doing that if you keep looking backwards? Look, I am sorry, like you are, for all these weird things that happened to us from this moment backwards. And I'm sorry that I participated in some of those things or was the recipient on some of those things. Oh, that's true. But you know what we can do about that? Nothing. You know what I can do about what's up and coming? Look with faith. Look with confidence. Look with trust. Well, how am I going to do that? By stop focusing on the past, which, by the way, You're only supposed to focus on the past things that help you with the Lord. That's what memorials were about. And you're supposed to be fixed with a vision of what is yet to come. Jesus told us how to endure. He endured this cross, despising the shame, because of the joy that was set before him. What was coming enabled him to endure what he was facing. Right? It's just that simple. What is that? Him? Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. It's because of him, right? Now, we're not going to exit without doing the DNA because you thought we were and you're wrong. And yes, Roger got to share. That was great. It was great that listen, that's what you need to hear. Listen, one another. That's what you need to hear. All right. In the meantime, we'll close this segment out. Yeah, we didn't take a break. Get over it. We'll survive. With DNA, D stands for draw closer to the Lord.
Daily.
So just what Roger was saying, daily, pushing forward towards the Lord. Sometimes you have to have a little bit of discipline. Sometimes you might need help in that discipline. Sometimes you need to say no to the enemy when he's trying to distract you. You know, people don't talk about this way because you got to be really careful, especially, you know, depending on what theological circles you enter into. But it is no joke that there is a spirit of distraction fighting against Christians. That's for real. Just to get your mind on anything else except for spending time with God. No wonder the book is hard to read because it's a war. No wonder it's hard to get away and pray, because it's a war. D, draw closer to the Lord daily. N, never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. Never, never, never. If you're ashamed of anything in the Bible, you need to repent. How about that? I'll just make it. God knows how to write a book. We need to know how to read it. We need to know how to hear it. We need to know how to obey it and surrender to God's truth. N, never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. And then A, always be ready.
To serve.
So instead of self-service, you know how we go to gasoline? And you go to gasoline and they have self-service. And you know they did that to save money, right? So I mean, let's just be honest, right? Everything that's self-serving is, wait, self-serving. See, you see how that works? Instead of being self-serving, be selfless serving. Be a person who thinks of other people. When you come into a room and I'll give you a great example. When you come into a room and you have a cup of coffee and you notice somebody else in the same room with you, I don't care what your spouse, children, whatever, that doesn't matter. You know, somebody else has a cup of coffee and maybe it's half full. It would not be inappropriate for you to say, would you like some more? I mean, I'm trying to give you an example of how to get out of just thinking about yourself or, gosh, all I want to do is sit down. Okay, that's cool. But Jesus even made a reference to that and said, before you do that, you know, when you're a servant, you'll come in and serve on your master. It's like when you come into a room, when you come into a situation, when you come somewhere, be aware of how others are, where they're at, what they're doing, and offer your service. Because that's what Jesus did. And that's what he wants you and I to do. That's always being ready to serve. So D, draw closer to the Lord daily. N, never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. A, always be ready to serve. All right, we'll take our break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Since the dawn of the internet, people have been looking for a website they can be proud of without costing an arm or a leg. People want a quality website to promote their ministry, business, hobby, or passion. Introducing Cowpunch Sites. Cowpunch Sites can help you create and maintain a quality website. From design to security, Cowpunch does it all. Cowpunch is a family-owned and operated business, taking a fresh approach to business. Lots of clients at lower prices. Make mom happy.
The most significant benefit of working with Cowpunch Sites is that you work with real people, not cheesy templates. No outsourcing. It's $57 a month, and there's no setup fee and no cancellation fees. When you go to cowpunchsites.com/dad. That's cowpunchsites.com/dad. That's me. Oh, did I mention that it's $57 a month? Cowpunch Sites, $57 a month, and that's no bull.
Dave, this is a nice radio station.
Oops, sorry. That's Cowpunch Sites, $57 a month, and that's no baloney. There, that's better. Cowpunchsites.com/dad.
Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Do you know how you keep going? Do you know how you keep putting one foot in front of the other? Do you know how you don't give up? Do you know how you don't quit even though you want to quit? You fix your eyes on Jesus. You see with God. When Peter went out of that boat and stepped on that water, there is no natural principle in the world, in any normal universe, that would allow Peter to walk on water. But he did one thing well. He looked at Jesus, and as he was looking at Jesus, the Bible says he walked on the water. He looked at his situation, just focusing at Jesus. Then he took his eyes off of Jesus, and he saw the winds and the waves, and he sank. He lost the correct attitude when he stopped seeing with Jesus in the picture. Whatever you see, whatever you face, whatever you encounter, do not see it or face it in the natural. For we walk by faith and not by sight. So everything you see, you must insert the picture of Jesus.
The David Spoon Experience.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas, where you should know now that whether there's callers or not, Dave can go without a break anytime Dave wants. I feel bad for everybody because of that. I'm just saying. Okay. All right, here's your next trivia question. You got to fill in the blank from 1 Corinthians 15:25. For since by one man came death, by one man also came the blank of the dead. 1 Corinthians 15:21. For since by one man, came death, by man, one man, also came the blank of the dead. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 21. If you think you know the answer, by the way, you can reach out and call us, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. Additionally, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. So this is... the passage is the reference, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 21. For since by man came death, by man also came the blank of the dead. 1 Corinthians 15:21. In the meantime, we will jump into history.
Let's go live in the past.
All right, a couple of interesting things today. Today is Brothers and Sisters Day. I did not know that, but I just texted my brother and sister giving them our new address. So I'm like, oh, yeah, I got that. Like, I was lucky on that one. That was grace. I'll take it all day long.
There you go.
Today is also National Play Your Ukulele Day.
I do not have a ukulele. Do you have a ukulele?
I'm not even sure half the time I know what a ukulele looks like, let alone have one, let alone play one.
I'll describe it as like a tiny guitar.
Is that that I want to go back to my little gray shack and koala cuckoo Hawaii? Do, 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 do. Okay, I think that's that. It also World Tuna Day. They don't tell you whether that has to do with Charlie the Tuna, tuna fish sandwiches, keeping tuna, saving tuna, eating tuna. I don't know what that means. It could be sushi. I don't know. I think this is pretty interesting. In 1912, listen to this. This is a fascinating one. The first airplane to take off from the deck of a moving ship took place in 1912. Took off the deck of the ship Samson from the, it was Lieutenant Samson from the ship Hibernia. I don't even know how to say this. Hibernia, something like that. Samson became the first British pilot. Well, that explains that. To take off from a stationary ship in the water. Wow, that's fascinating. And then the go ahead.
Highway to the Danger Zone play?
Yes. Yes, that was it. 1932, Jack Benny. If you know who Jack Benny is, I love you. Jack Benny, legendary comedian Jack Benny, performs his first radio program. Forget it. You don't know who he is. There's no point in even going down that road, is there? Okay, just moving on. And then finally, nothing else. That's it. All right, so we do have somebody ready to answer a trivia question, so let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is Gary. How are you today?
I'm doing pretty good, Gary. When you get stuff more put away in the house, so you feel like it's more like where you live. You're like, oh, that's where the soap is. You know, kind of thing. Like kind of the basic things. Oh, the toothpaste. Yeah, that's a good thing to have. So we're starting to get to that point where we're starting to put stuff away. So thank you for asking me, by the way. I appreciate that. All right, let's do the triv, and then we'll go from there and pray for you. Let's do this. Since by man, one man, came death, by man, one man, also came the blank from the dead. 1 Corinthians 15:21. What is the blank?
Resurrection.
That is correct, Amundo! So one man came the death, and there's no way to escape that. One man came the resurrection, the life. That one man was Adam in the first one. The second Adam in the second one are Jesus Christ. So excellent job, my brother. I'm going to guess out of the top of my head, you knew that without looking it up. Am I right?
No, I did look it up.
Ah, good for you.
It'd be a sin to lie about it. No, I did look that up.
Thank you for being honest. That's pretty good. Yeah, that's a good one. I'm glad they gave the reference. All right, my brother, let's pray over you for health, right? Any movement at all? Anything different? Or is everything exact same?
Pretty much the same. Maybe a little better.
Okay. Well, let's just keep praying. Keep praying. 1 inch is 1 inch. We always look for that. So let's pray. Father, we just come before you right now. We thank you and we praise you. We love our brother Gary. And we just want him to know how much we appreciate him. He's a part of our lives. And so we thank you for that. And Lord, a lot of people don't know that's important. That's an important part of being appreciated and being known. And so he's your child. He's our brother. And we're family. And we ask you in family, in the name of Jesus, by which we are family, that you would reach into his body and heal him by the power of the Holy Spirit. Instead of just being, well, it's just a prayer. Lord, that we have an expectation of the healing power of God manifesting in Gary's life in ways he didn't anticipate and in ways we didn't even understand. Let the manifestation of the power that comes from the Holy Spirit through the name of Jesus Christ speak life, healing, and restoration in his body and in his being. And let him know that refreshment. Let him know it comes from you. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And we thank you for it, Father. Again, in Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you very much. I'll be praying for all of you, and God bless you.
God bless you, brother. God bless you as well. All right. Great job. Great call. Let's get into the text. Here's Paul. I want to make sure you understand this. We're in Acts chapter 25. This is a really important part, and I'm please forgive me if I do this poorly. Picking up in 25, verse 7, on Paul's arrival in court, the Jewish leaders from Jerusalem gathered around and made many serious accusations they couldn't prove. Paul denied the charges. "I'm not guilty," he said. "I've committed no crime against the Jewish laws or the temple or the Roman government." So the reason that I bring this up is because there is a time when somebody, well, there'll be an accusation where there is a time to be more more forceful in the response. But then there is a time where they make accusations where you're silent. There's also a time where somebody might make an accusation against you and you just keep it as simple as possible. Paul said, I'm not guilty. It's not true. I don't care. It's like, I wish that Christians could gravitate a little to this one, because I think some of us go through the no response or the over response. And I really like Paul's response. It's like, nope, that's not what happened. Instead of saying nothing, which, by the way, is honorable, so don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But there is a time where you just go, nope, it's not true. That's not what happened. No. And there's nothing, you don't have to elaborate behind that. You know it's not true. Your heart knows it's not true. The Lord knows it's not true. It's just not true. And so say, he just made it as simple as possible. And what I'm asking you, or what I'm advocating for, is not just at times when the Lord puts it on your heart to be, you know, very forceful in defense, not just to be a person that is completely silent, never says anything, but you should be that from time to time. But you should also, from time to time, keep it super simple, right? What is that? What is that? That acronym for keep it simple? Keep it simple. Anyway, the idea here is that he just said, "No, that's not what happened. That's not true. You're wrong." And I will say, as a husband who's been married to best person I could ever be married to, there are times where I go over the board. There are times where I have nothing to say, right? And then there's times where I'm like, nope, honey, you're wrong. Sorry, that's it. That you're just incorrect. And it's like, that's more effective almost than anything else, because it's just like, nope, I'm just not even going to stand by it. It's just, nope, that's incorrect. And so sometimes in your statements, be aware that you don't have to say more than that. And then that's what it means when it says, let your yes be yes and your no be no. Because any more than that is evil. That's what it means. Just, nope, that's not true. You don't have to, because there's a confidence in that, and you should be able to do that. The next portion says this. Then Festus, wanting to please the Jews, asked him, are you willing to go to Jerusalem and stand trial before me there? And so it's a strategic move by Festus for him to ask Paul, hey, will you go to Jerusalem? And we'll do this whole thing in Jerusalem. So I used the intro to make it very clear that this is it's an unfair venue. It's not right. And Paul doesn't have to do it. And he goes, no, nope, not going to do it. And you think, well, should be a lot more than that. No. He understood that appearing in Jerusalem was the wrong place for him to be. And when somebody tries to get you to go to the wrong place, here's a great answer you can use. Ready? Okay. No. And if they try to force you, it's kidnapping. So, you know, and then you get the FBI. What I'm trying to say in that is no goes along with the simplicity. Nope, I didn't do it. Well, will you do this for this? No. Were you going to prove it this way? No. Nothing else. So my petition, my encouragement, I know it's a goofy teaching, but listen, it's very effective in life. Sometimes just let your yes be yes and your no be no, and don't add to it. It's just that simple, okay? All right. Take a break and then come back for the good portion of this text. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
The David Spoon Experience.
There was a pastor, now I use that word with some reservation, having been involved in ministry and having the privilege of planting seven churches throughout the United States and having three separate ordinations, I have a tremendous amount of respect for people who commit their lives into ministry. But whenever there's somebody on television or anywhere else that is a nut job, then I just call it like I see it. Okay, that's what I call it. Call it like I see it. On the Sean Hannity show, roughly about 2 weeks ago, a reverend, so-called Reverend Oliver White was on the show, and Reverend Wright said this, and I'm going to repeat it because some of these things are just unbelievable. He said that Jesus was wrong about marriage. At least he didn't have the audacity to say he never said anything about marriage. He said Jesus was wrong about marriage and that marriage should be more than between a man and a woman. And then he proceeded to say this statement, ladies and gentlemen. He said this. Now, this isn't even the thing that's irritating. Then he proceeded to say this. If Jesus were alive today,
He said, he would say, I didn't know it all. This is a man who's supposed to be representing Jesus Christ as a minister. This guy's no minister. And if you want to say, well, that's judging, I'll take that judgment all day long. All day long, I'll take that judgment, no matter what anybody says. Here's a guy that says two things. One, Jesus was wrong about marriage. Two, if Jesus were alive today, any person who proclaims or professes to be a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ and questions whether Jesus Christ is alive today or not is not a minister, but a false teacher. I don't care. I don't care if you like it. I don't care if you think that's mean. That's irrelevant. Facts are facts. And here's the thing that overwhelms me. This overwhelms me, ladies and gentlemen. Any person who is in public office, now this goes with this, all three of these things go together. Any person who is in public office who changes their convictions about same-sex marriage because another family member has made a decision to go into the lifestyle of being gay or lesbian, any person who changes their convictions, their biblical Christian convictions, based on another family member changing their status into a gay or lesbian lifestyle, and then that person then changes their Bible convictions to accommodate their family member, is not fit to be a Christian. That's right, I said it.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Somebody on the line. Let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Oh, this is Somebody Samson.
Somebody Samson? What? What's going on, little brother? How are you?
Hey, good. Hey, I have a prayer request.
Okay.
Yesterday, I think one of my wife's teeth is like there was a filling. I think that broke, so it's been a very painful.
Wait, say that again. What broke?
Well, her tooth broke.
Oh.
My wife's tooth. Yeah. So we were looking for an appointment. It's not till next Wednesday. So just pray that God will just supernaturally give her the comfort and the strength, and let there be minimum pain.
You got it. Let's pray. Let's pray right now. Let's do it. Father, we come before you right now in the name of Jesus, and we pray for Samson's wife. And we just ask you, Lord God, that's so painful, Lord. I know how painful that is, and so does everybody who's listening, Lord. And so we understand you've got to get some dental work done, got to get some things taken care of. But we're focusing in on the pain, Lord. We're focusing in on the discomfort. And since you are a God of comfort and you make that proclamation about your name and about who you are, then we ask you to manifest that in her life so that it is not something that just drives her, keeps her down continually and drives her. Lord, we're asking for supernatural power to touch her in the mouth so that that tooth cannot drive her and just be so hard and so harsh. Lord, have mercy in this situation. Alleviate that pain. Suspend it. Sustain it. Do whatever you got to do to the nerves to help her get through and let her be able to get it fixed and let it not be such a detriment to the way that she's functioning between now and the time she sees the dentist. We're asking for grace because there's no other place to go and nothing else we can do. So we ask you to help us in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen.
Amen, amen. And David, like yesterday, I was praying and asking God, what should I pray for this month? So I felt very strongly to pray for all our David Spoon Experience listeners, those who have a difficulty or those who've been forgot to listen to the voice of God. I committed myself to pray for each listener of this program that God will give them ears to hear his voice and a heart to obey. So that's what I'm committing myself for this month. So I'm going to keep praying for people to listen his voice and obey. And those who've been neglecting to listen, that maybe the Lord will bring that conviction, a loving conviction, not the condemnation, but the conviction, so that they will recommit and just tune their ear on a daily basis to hear his voice.
Amen. Amen. I bless that in the name of Jesus. Totally agree with that. Total support with you in that. So you keep praying that. That's what people need.
Yes, I'm praying, and I'm going to keep praying for this whole month of May.
All right. God bless you, brother. Good job.
God bless you. Okay. Thank you for praying for my wife.
You got it, bro.
Okay. Love you, brother. Bye-bye.
Love you too. Bye-bye. All right. So we're going to just, because I only have, this happened again. This is 2 days in a row this has happened. I wish I could run the show every once in a while. You guys don't realize how much of a not joke that is. Let's go back to the text. I want to make sure you get this part because this is the coolest part. This is the coolest part of the whole thing, and I don't want to miss it. So you're just going to have to bear with me for 5 minutes, so just smile. Festus, verse 9. Festus, wanting to please the Jews, asked, are you willing to go to Jerusalem to stand trial before me there? Verse 10, Paul replied, no. I love that. No. This is the official Roman court, so I ought to be tried right here. You know very well I'm not guilty. If I'd done something worthy of death, I don't refuse to die. But if I'm innocent, neither you nor anyone else has the right to turn me over to these men to kill me. I appeal to Caesar. Festus conferred with his advisors, and they replied, very well, you have appealed to Caesar, and to Caesar you shall go. So let me explain something to you, because this is an important pivot in Paul's journey. Now, we're getting at the end of Acts. We're almost through Acts 25. We're going to get through Acts 25, 26, and just going to kind of blow through to 27, 28. But I want you to catch what takes place, and it's superbly important. He is being asked, he would go to Jerusalem. He's like, no, I'm not going to Jerusalem. He goes, in fact, I'm going to appeal to Caesar. So Paul gets relief from an unjust court scenario. I don't know, if people get relief from unjust court scenarios, it's super blessing. Ironically, he acknowledges if he did anything wrong, he'll pay the price, even if it's death. But because he knows he didn't do anything, he's got nothing to fear, and God, of course, is the ultimate judge. So here's what I want you to understand, though. Paul's appeal, much like some decisions that you and I make, even though they seem to be for our advantage or for our self or well-being or any of those other things, can often be more rooted in divine plans than at first glance. Now, you got to listen to what I'm going to say. You know how the scripture makes reference that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose, Romans 8:28. But there are certain things that the Lord weaves and works in that are so profound that we don't think of them in Romans 8:28. We make decisions, we make these calls, we might even be quick to do it, but it might have much more divine behind it than we think. In Paul, using his, I don't have to do this, I'm going to appeal, so he used the court system, let's be honest, he's using the system to get out of that situation. By doing that, though, God has set up the foundation for Paul to preach past Jerusalem, but fully into Rome. In other words, by using the system, what God did was increased the reach of the gospel. I promise you, when Paul initially said, nope, I appeal to Rome, he wasn't thinking, because then I'll get to really preach the gospel to a whole bunch more people. Isn't that a great idea? Wow. I think he was thinking, I'm not doing that. I'm appealing to Rome. But God is the one who's coordinating. And what happens in your life and in my life is we'll make decisions, and sometimes you kind of get firm in your decision and you're just determined and so on and so forth. But sometimes those decisions are rooted in God. Because God has a bigger plan. God has a better outcome. God has a deeper process. There's nothing to say. When the church was getting its persecution in its early days, it's very clear in the book of Acts that persecution led to the spread of the gospel. Nobody in the world would think, oh, good, persecution. But if you were in heaven, you'd be like, oh, good, gospel spreading. And what we see is not always what God is doing.
And I mentioned this before. It's kind of like, you know, any kind of, you know, the arts and crafts stuff where you're doing needlework and so on and so forth. The bottom side of a piece of needlework looks ridiculous. It looks like it came out of the blob or something, right? But only the front side has this perfect outline picture with everything making sense. Well, that's oftentimes the situation in our life where God sees it and it's perfect. It's a perfect picture. We see it and it's different colors, different strings all over the place. And it's important for us to grasp God is in charge. This is where you think, oh, the world's going crazy. Yeah. It is from man's point of view, because man is trying to run it, and because he's trying to run it, he ruins it. But from God's point of view, it's all part. It's all part and parcel of what's going to take place. I don't care if the, oh, they say he's coming. Yeah, when he does, you're going to be sorry that you went, He is coming. He's coming again. And it's, this is part of the plan, and so the things that happen in your life are not, there's not, your life is not throwing dice. Your life is connected to Jesus Christ, and he's the center of this universe. That's what you got to remember. So even though something like, I had to make an appeal to Caesar, it doesn't make any sense, it's crazy, we have to do this, why doesn't God just send down angels and wipe everybody out? And that's because God's plan is to spread the gospel, which, by the way, is often the case, that what God is allowing has purposes way beyond our eyesight. So this is where you do this one thing before we exit. You trust God because he knows what he's doing. Get it? All right. All right, folks, you have been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. 22.5-hour break, then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
The views expressed in the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.